Actually, Darren, thanks for having me.
Oh, mate, caught up with you early in the season. I think it was before the men's heat season, wasn't it? Around about, just before the pre-season?
Yeah, it would have been around then. It seems like a lifetime ago now. But
it does, yeah, doesn't it? Seems like 30 years ago. Brent, we'll get to this season in a minute. Where did this start for you? Your dad was a good footballer at South Mildura, from my memory.
Yes, no, Dad and your pa, Laurie, both South Mildura legends, both in the Hall of Fame and involved in the club for years and years. So there's a lot of push to footy, and I played a lot of junior footy.
Yeah.
But the basketball just took over as I got older.
Yeah, well, you're born into a sporting family. Oh, that's something. I played basketball up to A reserve level, and what people don't understand just how physical the game is at that level. And you're played at the next level again for years. It's a lot more physical contact in the sport than they think, isn't there?
Yeah, it sure is. Like, you look at it in the definition, I think it still is technically classed as a non-contact sport. But you can definitely, there's a lot of big boys out there, and you can definitely be pretty sore on a Sunday morning.
Oh, I'll put you on the spot, Brent. Would I be right in saying that you don't mind the physical stuff so much?
Well, when you can't really run or jump, you've sort of got to figure out a way to stop the quick guys. So I learned from a very young age that I've got a big body, and that's the way for me to succeed and use that big body and push blokes around and take away their ability to run and jump.
So you obviously found the bug at basketball as a young age, and you've just continued on from, I think, what were you, around about 10, 12, 13 when you first started playing?
Yeah, I probably a little bit earlier than that, sort of playing, I think it was under 10, so I was probably about 8 when I first sort of just started playing socially, but didn't sort of play representative basketball until I was 13.
Yep.
And then, got involved with the senior program at 15.
That must have been a hell of a shock, the senior program with the Mavericks at 15 years old.
It sure was back then. You're playing the Mavericks and you're playing... Yeah, guys that are, a lot of guys that were playing NBL and went on to play NBA, and it's a pretty high standard of basketball. Well, it was the second highest league in Australia at the time, and a lot of the guys were full professionals. So it was definitely a wake up call, but you learn quickly.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of sport people in St. Asia realised just how big a league that was, the Mavs. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember Andrew Bogut coming here and playing against us once. Is that just a dream, or is that a correct memory?
No, that's correct. He played for the year before I started playing. I was sort of involved in the program, but not playing.
Yep.
He came up here as a 17-year-old for the Australian Institute of Sport. He had 40 points and 20 rebounds in about three quarters. And pretty showing, really.
The rest is history with him, isn't it?
Yes, yep.
So you've come into the Mavericks scene. You would have been with guys like Shannon Erskine and the rest of them. Joe Hurst, maybe?
Yeah, Joe Hurst, Shannon Erskine, Jason Spratt.
Yep.
Around then, younger guys, obviously, Davey Meyer and myself were the sort of the young guys of the team, and Jake Zock, a couple of years older. We had a very talented team there for a few years. I think the year before that I sort of got involved, we got beaten in overtime in the grand final.
Yep.
It was a good time, and some very good mentors in that team.
Well, you played in premiership with them, didn't you?
Not with the Mavericks. Played in two heat premierships in 2010-2012.
The amount of hours you've spent at the hothouse, well, basically since under-10s, what's it like to win a premiership? Brent, I played a lot of football and made preliminary finals and grannies and never won a flag. I can't imagine what the feeling would be like. Even at basketball level, I never won a premiership. What's it actually like when that final siren goes?
I think in 2010, it was almost relief.
Yep.
We went through the season undefeated.
Oh, pressure was on.
And we actually didn't get off to a good start with Basel's best of three series.
Yep.
In game one, we struggled and just got over the line. So it was sort of a bit of a thing, oh, no, don't tell me we're going to blow this. But once we won the premiership in 2010, it was a bit of a relief. And I think 2012, it was, that was the more probably exciting one. There's that joy, I guess, just comes over you, and excitement that all that hard work and dedication and sacrifices you made, not only that year but the years before, has paid off for something.
As a player in a premiership side, is it an eye-opener after the event that how many people you've made happy?
Yeah, it sure is. Particularly, you sort of forget sometimes that you're actually, unlike footy, that you play for a team, you actually play for Mildura.
Yeah.
And you play for the whole town, and Well, I still say it all the time. It's incredibly weird when people stop you in the streets and say congratulations or good game or good luck.
Yep.
And particularly after those championships, people would go to down to local footy or whatever, and people would stop you and congratulate you, and you just go, wow, I don't know who you are, sorry.
I'm glad you brought that up, Brent. I get recognised a lot in public through my voice.
Yeah.
And when it first starts to happen, someone comes up to you that you don't know, it's a very weird feeling, isn't it?
It sure is. It puts a lot of things into perspective and makes you very grateful when you find out that people actually take their time out on a Saturday night to come and watch you and come support the team, because in the middle of winter down that stadium, it's a freezing cold place.
It is.
And you think, there's a lot of things to do in town on a Saturday night, and these people are, spending their hard-earned money and their time to come and support you guys or support us, which is, it's a very great but humbling feeling.
Yeah, it's the same as being on radio. You think, well, they've obviously listened to me. So, look, mate, the hothouse on a Saturday night, I'd been to a few games over the years, but then I was asked to commentate this year by Janet Locke, and I've been to most of the games when I've been available. It's a great night down there, mate. Freezing cold or not, Brent, it's a really good night out.
Yeah, it is. And, for people, it's $10. You get to come down and watch two games of basketball, so it's 4+ hours of entertainment. It's just like probably the shame of it is it does go a bit late, so the young kids maybe can't come as much. But for the value of money and, like I said, everything's there, and it's a great way to spend a Saturday night.
Brent, what do you got? 300 games now, haven't you?
Yeah, I was very lucky. I think I got to 301 before the season stopped. So
yeah, that's a lot of games of basketball at that level of basketball. What was the trigger to retirement? Was it during the daytime you started thinking about ways of getting out of training that night, or? Because it's usually the key for any sportsman. You'll want to keep playing the sport, but somewhere in your head during that day of training, you think, oh, I've got training tonight.
Yeah, I think it comes down. I think physically, I think I'm probably still all right, still playing some good basketball and could still contribute, but like I said, it's just mentally. You get drained, you have a full day of work, you come home, the last thing you can think of you really want to do is go down to training. And particularly now I've got a young daughter at home.
Yeah.
I want to sort of spend as much time with her as possible. And then with also our commitments on weekends, we go away sort of every second, third weekend. You miss all that time. And even as well just playing on Saturday nights, you lose your whole day Saturday.
Yeah, you do.
With everything committed. So it's a huge commitment. You just can't really be bothered doing some of it. You shouldn't really be doing all of it because to be successful, you need to do everything.
Yeah, no, I think any sportsman that's played at the level you have, in your own heart when it's time to go. And like you said, when you can't be bothered doing all of it, maybe you shouldn't be out there. But, Brent, it must be a good feeling to retire at that level of basketball, still on top of your game. The last game I've seen you play at the hothouse, you're going to leave a big hole in their side, mate. I'm not saying it because I've been interviewing you, but you're going to leave a big hole, big strapping forward that scored double points nearly every time you jumped onto the court. You, Dave Moore and Kelvin Henry, you're going to leave a big hole in that men's heat team. I know people will step up, but it's going to take a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it will. There's some very, very talented basketballers there with Jay Madigan, Dallas Brown, Noel Valentich, and that are coming through.
Yep.
And they'll step into our roles, no worries. But, it's always, I guess, probably a bit hard for them, even just the leadership side of things. They'll have to pick up, because particularly losing a guy like Dave Moore, he's been an absolute star. Does a lot of things that don't show up on a stat sheet that someone else will now have to step up and do.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't mind the physical stuff, does he?
No, he loves the physical stuff as well.
So, are you going to wean yourself off the sport? Are you going to play at a local level, or that's it, cold turkey, you're going to stop?
No, I think I'll still play locally.
Yep.
Just in the summer competition. I still love the game and would still play if there was, ways around not having to travel and only having to train once a week or something like that. But no, I still love the game and we'll be involved playing locally, and we'll still probably help out Cal in different ways I can next year with the men's heat team.
I was going to say, you're only a phone call away for Kelvin Henry. That must be a pretty comforting thought for him, and Dave Meyer for that matter.
Yeah, we've told him that we'll be there. We've also sort of requested if we can get a box built right behind the coach's bench, so just sit back there and drink a few beers and just yell out our advice.
I'm sure the big general would really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I think he put a stop to that pretty quickly.
I reckon he would. You know, there's been a lot of sad stories throughout the COVID year and the 18 months and all the rest of it, and, you know, there's been some people cop some hard stuff in business and the real world, but as far as sport goes, Brent, I think that you and Kelvin and Dave, it's a shocking way to finish what was something like 700 games of basketball between you. It would have been lovely to see you get a farewell game at the Hot House, but it's not to be, and I'm sure the association will do something for you around one next year.
Yeah, not sort of sure if what their plans are, if there is any, but, yeah, like we said, if this is the worst thing that happens to us throughout this whole COVID situation, we'll consider ourselves pretty lucky.
Yeah.
The three of us have had our jobs the whole way through. We haven't really had any family tragedies or anything like that that we've had to miss or events that have been cancelled. So, you know, we've all been pretty lucky with a lot of things. You know, even Cal, not being able to get back to America is probably a lot more important to him than, not playing a finale game. Yeah, in perspective, it's probably pretty minor, but it would have been nice, but not the end of the world.
That's a good attitude to have, and that's obviously the attitude you've carried out throughout your career. I'm almost out of time, Brent. It's been great to catch up with you a couple of times on the program. I'm sure it won't be the last time. I'm sure you will be involved with the men's seat next year. But, mate, when you're sitting back having a beer with a couple of mates in the next few weeks, just remember that you conducted yourself with great grace and dignity on and off the court, and you've represented your family and this district with pure class the whole way through, mate.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a true honour to represent the town, and hope I've really brought some joy to some people over the years. But no, I've been very, very lucky, and I owe a huge debt of gratitude to a lot of people at Mildura Basketball and to the whole town of Mildura for supporting me throughout this journey. I've been very, very lucky, that's for sure.
And Brent, just after I hang up, I'm going to ring Paul Locke and we'll get some measurements made up and we'll get that box built for you.
That sounds like a good idea, mate.
No worries, Brent. It's been great to talk to you. You stay safe and we'll talk again soon.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Have a good day.